to the breakfast show on Faith FM all over Australia, New Zealand in some places, and indeed across the world through the Faith FM app. We actually received one quiz answer here from a New Zealand number here. So shout out to our New Zealand listener who just responded. We couldn't catch your name. Our bot was not really doing really well here with the New Zealand numbers. If you can send us your name, that will be great. We can add your name here into the draw. So you were one of the few people that got the right answer to the question number two. The one they're talking about, no, who was the son of Nun?
Yeah.
Yeah, anyway. So that's good. We have a few messages that came through Lawson in today's show. Janelle said, loving the dad jokes quiz, guys. Classic.
Yeah.
Yes, that's really fun. I'm enjoying this too.
Like, absolutely.
This is Shell's idea. This is great.
Like, this is Shell is truly putting in the most work. Like, yeah. She's doing the most. Hey, let's get into another quiz question right now.
Okay, let's go.
At what time of the day did God create Adam? Apparently this is funny. At what time of the day did God create Adam? 0491.
It is funny.
You definitely aren't going to find this answer in the Bible, but you can think of it if you're really good at dad jokes.
Yeah. Okay. If you know the answer, 0491-064-669. If you don't know what we're talking about, just send in an answer anyway. Just say yesterday. And look, we'll consider that an answer and we will put you into the draw.
That's
guys.
Right. This is participation.
It is a free for all, you know, for today's quiz.
Let me just say, this is in the spirit of being a father, of fatherhood, because what do you want to building your kids is their character. So the answers or their results, they don't matter so much as their attitude. So I want my kids to have an attitude of being go-getters, of trying out, even if they're going to make a mistake, that's all fine. I want them to try things. So this quiz today, I'm just loving it. It's just ticking all the boxes here for us.
Absolutely.
And you get to go home and tell all of these jokes to your kids.
That's right.
That's right. We are truly blessing you guys again. At what time of the day did God create Adam? This is your penultimate opportunity to get in for the quiz.
And some people are already sending in the right answer. Well,
awesome. Come on. Really? We have some honorary members of the Dad's Joke Club of Australia here.
This is awesome. I love this. Hey, okay. 0491-064-669. Got some more text messages here to read, Joseph? Or?
Yeah, I have one from Lynn. She said, play that song again, please, My Father's Eyes. Oh, thanks for sharing that. That message is certainly going through Shell, the producer.
Yeah,
Shell, can we play that song today again? Three times.
I've already got all the song list filled up for today, but we will play it again for you next week. But it is by the Rochester, so you can find it on your music
streaming platform.
Yeah. Yeah.
Of your choice.
The Rochester's My Father's Eyes.
All right. And by the way, listener, do you have any Father's Day related songs that you really like?
Oh, this is My Father's World. A classic.
Okay, well, send us, you know, your suggestions for father-related songs, and we will read it here on air. And then we had a message here from Christopher. Christopher's responding here to the story, Lawson, that we were talking about these Colorado schools adding LGBTQ history into first graders curriculum, and many parents are quite upset at that, and they are disagreeing with that decision. They are taking issues with it. And Christopher said here, hey, I was listening to a podcast by The Voice of Prophecy. They were telling a story from Texas about a separated mother and a father. The mother wanted their son to be a girl and to chemically castrate their son by the age of 8. The father and son didn't want this. It went to court where the judge sided with the mother.
Oof.
Wow. Christopher, I don't know about the story. If you have a link or something, I would like to know more details. But, you know, one of the big things that people are asking is exactly to what extent do parents have the authority of their kids versus the government stepping in, particularly on these in gender transition issues? And I've heard of similar stories in Canada of a father who refused to call he had a biological son that was born male. and he wanted to be to identify as a woman, and the father just refused to call him the his female name, and he ended up getting in jail because of that. I do not know if that was.
I remember that story.
You remember that story? Mm-hmm. So, you know, and this father was saying, hey, I just did not want my kid to believe into these ideological things, into these things that I'm seeing as blatant, you know, lies. He's just too young. This is not supposed to be. He's been deceived. Mm. Elon Musk came recently and he said that he lost his son, Xavier, to what he called the woke mind virus.
Mm.
You know, and basically Elon Musk said that he went to the GPs. His son was suffering from gender dysphoria. And the GP said, look, unless your son goes through a surgery to remove his genitals, he would commit suicide.
Yeah.
And Elon Musk said, well, you know, all my life, I just trusted the experts. So if the experts are telling me in between having a dead son and an alive child, well, let's do so. And then with the CAST report and everything like that, people are saying, hey, but why didn't you, before jumping into these extreme situations for kids that do not have the condition to make choices yet, that they might regret big time in the future, why don't you start by ruling out things such as depression and anxiety or just waiting for puberty to go by? I think we quoted here a few times the Dutch University research that says that about 75% of kids suffering with gender dysphoria, by the time that they leave puberty, 75%, they're not suffering from gender dysphoria anymore. They are content with their gender, their biological gender. So why that rush? Why rushing and pressuring parents and kids into doing lifelong decision commitments that there are a great likelihood for them to repent and regret?
Oh, to repent and regret, to recover from as well. And this is something that they also find with a lot of the research, is that people who feel a deep sense of gender dysphoria during like adolescent years, usually they can grow out of it, but a lot of them end up like just becoming like either homosexual or gay or something like that, which again, statistically, if we look at like the suicide statistics, has a far lower suicide rate anyway than the transgender community and like, you know, for people who are homosexual, even though I'm not endorsing that lifestyle. It's like, if you have to pick a path, is it, hey, should we put someone, you know, should we like remove someone's genitals and put them on like life-changing hormones that they will be on for the rest of their life that they can never opt out of, or they will drop dead? Or can we just, you know, during the time in which they need to be fathered and parented, say no. And there's a different path that they can go down, even if we don't agree with it, but will be far better for them health-wise in the long run. Like, even though I don't agree with that lifestyle, like, I know what I would choose if I was a father.
If people want to make that decision for themselves after they are adults, after their, you know, frontal lobe is fully developed, after that, say, age 25 or something, look, you do with your life, whatever you want to do with your life. Mm-hmm. But to get into kids that are not even mature enough to do things such as drive a car or vote, and yet they can have full authority over making life-changing decisions about what body parts they get to keep and what... I think it's a bit, you know, too much. It's way too much in my books. So, look... The question that I was going here, what if it was my daughter that was sitting at Colorado school and I had no other option but to sit there? I would say, you know, daughter, I'll say to her, look, we need to respect people. We need to respect their choices. God has given people freedom to choose how they wanted to live their lives. We need to respect, honor these choices, but we are followers of Jesus. And if we love Jesus with all of our hearts and all of our minds and all of our souls, we will keep his commandments. So for us, we believe that God is, that sexuality is something that, and this is how I would explain to a 7-year-old about sexuality. Sexuality is when God gives permission to a man and a woman to sleep in the same bed together, if they are married.
Yeah.
And I don't go into more details than that at that age.
And why would you?
Right? But I say, look, this can only happen according to what Jesus told us, in the context of a marriage that is committed for life between a man and a woman. Anything outside of that is outside of the biblical scope.
You're listening to The Breakfast Show. Connect with us on 0491 064 669.
So in that, I believe that I'm teaching both the honoring and respect that God does command us to have for all people.
Mm.
But at the same time, also teaching them, say, hey, look, we are followers of Jesus. We believe in God, believe in the word of God, and we love God. Mm. Therefore, we are different. We see things different. We interpret things different. We live things different. And this is what we believe here. We as a family believe that this is the pathway to become really happy.
Yeah.
Becoming really happy. How do you become really happy? According to the Christian, it's very simple. You just find out what is God's will for your life and you do it.
Yeah, absolutely.
That is the definition
and
of happiness.
You'll find inner peace and maybe lots of turmoil in this life that will be rectified in the life to come.
That's right. But even if you go through challenging experiences,
mm-hmm.
you still can go through with peace, with hope, and with joy, knowing that in the end game, God's will prevail.
Absolutely.
God's justice will prevail. God's restoration of all things will come through. This is why the Bible says that Jesus, when he was going through the cross, through the greatest suffering that any being has ever experienced in the universe, the Bible says he did so because of the joy that was ahead of him.
That was set before him. Yeah, absolutely. So beautiful. Hey, guys, this conversation is particularly interesting. If you have any thoughts, 0491-064-669 is the number to text. We're getting a few text messages through here. But yeah, definitely big topics to talk about in today's
big
day
topics.
And age. And you guys were stepping out. I was listening to the news just now, and there is this particular conversation about, yeah, gender identity and LGBT and all this stuff. They're currently going through it now with the 2026 census, the next census that is coming up. They're deciding whether to add transgenderism to the ballot and whatnot. And they're like stuck at a crossroads of like whether they should or not, because they're like, they feel as though they're unable, like the Australian Bureau of Statistics are unable to get accurate statistics on like birth rates. If they added transgender category, so they're like, they have one category that's like, oh, you're transgender, but they also like, hey, what's your biological sex of birth? And so, yeah, very, very interesting. You're listening to The Breakfast Show this morning. And we're going to be talking about Mark chapter 12.
Yes. And we're talking about big picture things, right, Lawson?
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it's really good to zoom out and to realize what is the most important thing and what is the secondary most important thing. And this story that we're going to be reading is exactly about that. So why don't we jump into Mark chapter 12, verses 28 to 34. There's a lot that we can explore in that incredible story here, Lawson. Mm-hmm. Let's just jump in it.
Okay, verse 28. One of the scribes came up and heard them arguing, and recognizing that he had answered them well, he asked him, "What commandment is the foremost of all?" Jesus answered, "The foremost is, 'Hear, Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one, and you shall love the Lord with Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these.' And the scribe said to him, 'Well said, teacher, you have truly stated that he is one and there is none beside him.'"
Okay, let's just pause here for a second and we'll continue the answer of that scribe. But I like to call that story the story of the sincere scribe.
Mm.
And it came out, this scribe was probably hearing all the controversies that are being hurled at Jesus, you know,
yeah.
Should he pay taxes? Should he not pay taxes? Mm. There was another story that we skipped through where some of the Sadducees came up and they came up with a hypothetical scenario of a woman whose husband died, and then she married it to all of his seven brothers, and then they're asking, hey, whose wife is she going to be at the resurrection?
The resurrection,
and Jesus
yeah.
responded to that, you know, beautifully, saying that, hey, you don't know the power of God, you don't know the scriptures, this is why you err, because in the kingdom of heaven, there's going to be no marriages, but people will be delighted in following the will of God, and God is the God of the living. So this scribe came to Jesus, and Bible said him that he that he perceived that Jesus had answered him well. So he said, you know what? He surrendered to the weight of the evidence and said, you know what? This teacher here, this rabbi is saying something quite intelligently. Number one. Number two, then he asked, okay, what is the greatest commandment? Jesus replied to him, and the scribe did something that no one else did who was trying to test Jesus did before. He actually acknowledged Jesus.
Yeah, wow.
Wisdom. He said, well said, teacher, you have spoken the truth. Now, I can only imagine, Lawson, the frowns of disapproval granted by the Pharisees that were there next to him, saying, what? Are you validating this man? But he was sincere.
But this scribes of that time, their job is to rewrite and write and write out scripture and write for people. Like, these were the scholars of the time.
These are scholars. Part of the qualification is to, you need to know the whole Bible at a time, the whole Old Testament by heart, or at least
you need to memorize
huge portions of it. Yeah.
And then it's your job to copy it down and teach perfect it. And they count all the letters. And if all the letters aren't, you know, if you have one extra letter, they just burn that parchment that you've done it on and you restart again. Like, the standards for scribehood were incredibly high. Yeah. And Pharisees and Sadducees, like, that is a name that describes their political and religious leanings. But whereas the word scribe is just a job description.
Yeah.
And this scribe, he's like, oh, it is my job to write out the Bible. I think of people who translate the Bible and stuff, you know, people who translate the Bible, people who make Bibles and, you know, there's NKJV or NASB or whatever it may be. I think about those Bible translators and I'm like, oh, I wonder what their opinion is on the Bible, on these passages and whatnot that they translate, because, you know, they probably have a deeper knowledge and understanding of, like, the physical text itself.
That's a very interesting question, Lawson. I'm thinking here of a Catholic theologian. His name is Paul House.
Mm.
And if I'm not mistaken, Paul House is writing, and when he's writing his books, it looks like you're just reading a Protestant, like, writer.
Yeah.
You know, for example, I think that he is one that, if I'm not mistaken, you know, if I'm wrong, I'll, you know, please do correct me and I'll apologize on air here, but state of the dead is something that in the Catholic tradition believes that when you die, you're going to straight to heaven or to purgatory or hell, depending on how sinful your life was.
Mm.
And Paul Hall say, no, like, the Bible says that if you die, you're just like resting in the dust, that you're unconscious. You know, he's an Old Testament scholar, by the way.
Yeah.
And I was thinking here, man, it's amazing here how sometimes these Old Testament scholars, they hold views that are vastly different from the religious tradition just because, look, I'm just reading here and just communicating what I'm reading.
Yeah, that's
right. And they say, look, I know that my tradition believes differently and I am all for my tradition, but I cannot ignore that the Bible is saying this.
Yeah.
And there's a number of scholars, particularly Old Testament scholars, that in that particular topic of the state of the dead, they say, yeah, look, there's no biblical foundation whatsoever. I never seen it. Certainly not in the Old Testament, much less in the New Testament, about that idea that people are immediately conscious and they have a role to play after they die. It's, you know, before Jesus comes. So, I think that this is what we are witnessing here is one of these circumstances.
He's a guy. He's like, I write the Bible out every day. Like, it's like, it is my profession. And he probably has an opinion on the law of like, oh, you know, okay, I write out the commandments. I write out what Moses said and what Jesus has said is correct. Like, what Jesus has said is in my opinion, the summary of all the law. And that's what Jesus has said.
That's right. And I think that he was frustrated with both the Pharisees and the Sadducees because they were so bogged down into the little details, the fine prints, the external acts of religiosity. They were neglecting the religion of the heart.
Yeah.
I think that this scribe, he knew, hey, there's a problem with these guys too.
Yeah.
And this teacher, for the first time, I heard someone saying something that is sensible, something that is actually biblically accurate.
That's right.
To-
I love that you said that. That is true to the text.
Yes.
That is true and honest to the text as given there. Because again, this scribe, he is someone who deals in text. And he would know, man, the text is beautiful. It's amazing. It's powerful. It's life-changing. And it's like, yeah. You know, without any agenda, without, you know, any political sway or whatever it may be, Jesus just said, the truth of what is there plain to see in the text.
That's right. Jesus praised his attitude because his attitude was one of sincerity.
Mm.
He was sincere. He looked at the evidence and he let himself to be surrendered by the weight of the evidence.
You're listening to the Breakfast Show podcast on Faith FM. Positively different.
This is our last show ever with only 2 hours of duration.
Okay.
Because from Monday onwards, you will get an extra half an hour every day, every show. So we can talk more about the matchless, incomparable beauty of Jesus Christ, the Lord.
Absolutely. Hey, let's get into our next quiz question.
All right. What is it, Lawson?
Our very final one. Again, guys, send in your answers. Here we go. What kind of man was Boaz before he got married? What kind of man was Boaz before he got married? Oh, I
think
love this
is my favorite.
I know
this is my favorite. This is my favorite.
This one. If you guys know the answer, 0491-064-669 is the number to text. If you text that number with the correct answer, you go into the draw. But no, not a correct answer. Just any answer.
Any answer. Give it a go.
We are playing for participation today. We are being incredibly generous in the spirit of fatherhood.
We are
looking after you guys. Hey, again, 0491-064-669. What kind of man was Boaz before he got married? Of course, the Revive Cafe cookbooks of your choice. We have two to give away, so we have two winners that can win this potential
prize.
And
this is today.
This is today. We're spinning the wheel at 8:45. So again, 0491-064-669. This is an absolute banger here. What kind of man was Boaz before he got married?
Oh, we already had some answers coming through and Suzanne sent the right answer. I'm not going to tell what it is. Suzanne, you are a dead joke genius.
Yeah.
Like,
she's been on
how
it.
How did you know that?
She's just knowing everything.
When Shel told me this morning, I was like, my brain was like, there was like smoke coming out of my ears here. My brain was going on overdrive mode and I had no clue.
Oh, this last one.
Yeah, the last one.
Ah, okay. No, this is a classic. I knew this one.
Suzanne's crushing it. She's got the most correct answers out of anybody.
Suzanne, tell me what chapter of the Dead Joke Society of Australia you go to because...
Yeah, you need to step up your game.
We don't want
to
just shout out. That's amazing. Right.
Shout out South Australia and, you know, all the dads down there joking around. Hey, you're listening to The Breakfast Show right now. Let's get into Mark chapter 12 again. This scholar, this scribe, a man honest to the text, asked Jesus a question. Hey, what's the greatest commandment? Jesus answers and says, you should love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, and all your soul. And you should love your neighbor as yourself. And that scribe's like, yeah, that's true.
So let's keep reading. Let's read again the scribe's answer and then Jesus' answer to the scribe because there's something quite nice about that here as well.
And the scribe said to him, well said, teacher, you truly have stated he is one and there is no one besides him. And to love him with all your heart and with all your understanding and with all your strength and to love your neighbor as yourself is much more than all burnt offerings and sacrifices.
Right. He realized, hey, this is much more important than all the burnt offerings and sacrifices. That was an indirect to the Pharisees that were there.
Yeah.
They were so much focused on the whole burnt offerings and sacrifices and rituals.
Yeah.
Say, hey, bro, you know, loving others and loving God is way more. It comes first. I'm not saying that the whole burnt offerings and sacrifices are not important, but in the scale of things, what is the point of offering all these sacrifices if your heart is far from God?
Yeah.
No point.
And we know this for sure. Look, like you look at the story of the likes of Nebuchadnezzar, for example, like a Gentile who converts, what offering or sacrifice did Nebuchadnezzar offer? The Bible doesn't record it, at least. He potentially could have. But God much rather, you know, would see Nebuchadnezzar humble himself, give his life to him, love and care and appreciate others. Like, this is an Old Testament story. Of course, there was a place for sacrifice, which was ultimately fulfilled in Jesus. But this was the conversion of the heart that God was looking for.
And I think that this is a big lesson for us today, Lawson, because, well, maybe you say, well, I'm glad that as a Christian, we don't have to do all these sacrifices anymore because Jesus had fulfilled them all in his sacrifice for us. But, you know, can we, as Christians, consider ourselves to be really great Christians and yet be solely focused on ourselves?
Yeah.
You know, be selfish, never really serve others, never really live outside of our own existence, and be so bogged down in certain rituals and traditions and forms that we forget to be a blessing to others.
Mm, absolutely. You know what?
It happens.
I want to say this. It is far easier. It is far easier to get a lamb that you raised by hand, to walk it on over to the temple, to slit its throat, let the blood run out, than it is to truly repent, confess, and overcome sin.
Yeah.
It is
That's right.
far easier. Like, every day of the week, you can go and kill some lambs or whatever it may be. It is far easier to do that than to truly have an experience of change, which, and the point that I want to make is that can only happen through the power of God.
Yeah.
This is what God is wanting for people more than anything else. And so getting back to the text here, Jesus answers him. Jesus sees this amazing answer from the scribe, and he says, when Jesus saw that he had answered intelligently, he said to him, you are not far from the kingdom of God. And then no one dared question him.
Tell me a little bit about what you think about that answer from Jesus, Lawson, because this is an intriguing answer. He said, you are not far from the kingdom of God.
Mm.
And yet, not far from something doesn't mean that you are in that something. It doesn't say, oh, you are in the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
What do you think Jesus chose these words in reply to him? What was missing to that man?
Yeah, absolutely. Great question. It is fantastic when we can come to the understanding that the principles of the kingdom of God are to be followed. And that, like, loving people is important, and that, you know, these kinds of things. But I think Jesus is ultimately making the assertion here, you're not far from the kingdom of God, because this guy is just one step away from admitting that Jesus is the Messiah. I think this is the truth of the matter, that we're talking about a point at which Jesus has stopped discouraging people from coming to that conclusion, or stopped discouraging people from proclaiming that conclusion. He said, and I feel like the inference from what he's saying here would have been felt. He says, you know, you guys know who people are saying I am.
Yeah.
And what you said here,
the day before Jesus rode into Jerusalem on a donkey. Fulfilling a very strong messianic prophecy in the book of Zechariah.
Yeah.
Everybody was talking about it.
Yeah.
Jesus saying you are not far from the kingdom of God, that's just one thing that's
one more step. Yeah. And at this point, it says here no one dared any longer to question him. Because every single time, like, whether it's the Pharisees and the Sadducees, he just cuts through the religious political tension with a knife, with no qualms whatsoever, you know, and the render unto Caesar's what is Caesar's, render unto God's what is God's. And now in the face of the high scholars of Israel, like, all Jesus can do, it seems, is win these arguments or these debates or any question that they bring to him. Jesus has an answer that is so biblically true, text accurate, and gets to the heart of the matter, and can only make Jesus look good.
That's right.
They're like, what else can we say?
We'll
just make ourselves look bad.
That's right. It was backfiring every time.
Mm.
Because every time that they're asking a question, trying to expose Jesus, Jesus would expose them instead. And his fame would just grow and grow and grow. What would be the sincere thing to do? The sincere thing to do is that instead of not daring to ask Jesus, is to say, you know, Rabbi, we give up.
Mm.
We know that you are a teacher from God. Just tell us what you want to tell us. Mm. What do we need to do? What can we do to inherit eternal life? What's wrong with our religion system? You know, they lost that golden opportunity. They had the master of masters, the teacher of teachers in front of them. They could have asked him any secret, any knowledge of the entire universe.
Mm.
And yet they stopped to do so because they were afraid to look bad.
Yeah. For fear of their own reputation.
Fear of their own reputation. They just did not want to acknowledge Jesus's messiahship.
That's right.
You're listening to the Breakfast Show podcast on Faith FM. Positively different.
On Faith FM. Just want to say a quick thing, Lawson, before we go into the draw. Father's Day can be a very happy celebratory day for a lot of people, but not for everyone. And the reality is some people, you know, may not have had a happy father experience in this planet. Mm. Maybe their fathers were not, you know, they were definitely not living up to the biblical standard or the God standard of a loving father. Maybe, you know, they couldn't be fathers. And they struggle with that day. And we just want to acknowledge and just want to pray. And we understand and, you know, that this day may not bring positive, joyful memories to you. Maybe it may bring even painful memories. But we believe in a God that is the Father of all and that is a good Father and that will wipe away every tear. So we pray that Amen. The Holy Spirit will stay with you as you go through this difficult day. But for the rest of us that actually had a positive experience, let's celebrate that because it's also fitting to celebrate Father's Day, particularly for the fathers that have been models of good fathers in protecting and raising us and loving us as well. So with no further ado, we want to announce the first winner of this week's quiz game. So let's spin the wheel.
Okay, it's spinning.
Wow. We have so many entrants this week. Let's see.
Whoa! That's awesome! Congratulations, too. We have John who has won the first one, and that was cool. That was like a last second click over there for the win. So shout out John who has won. We'll text you. Let's do the next one.
All right.
Let's spin.
So much fun.
That wheel. Okay,
let's remove John from the possible because he's already got it.
He's already got one. Imagine if you won two, that would be good. And congratulations to Asteri as well, who has won the other Revive Cafe cookbook. So we will get on to you guys. We will get you the Revive Cafe cookbook of your choice. Congratulations. Thank you so much for playing. Hey, let's go through some of these answers, man.
Good fun.
Let's go through. Okay. Which Bible dad could have used the line, your mother ate us out of house and home? And I didn't get this at first, and then I saw someone answer, and it was immediately knew. Oh, okay. So the answer to this one was Adam. Adam was the dad who could have said that because, you know, just think about the story of Adam and Eve, and
They had to leave their home, literally. They got kicked out.
Because of mom's dietary choices.
Hey,
at the time.
Dad ate too. That's right.
Your mother ate us out of house and home.
Eve was deceived. Adam went on fully understanding. So his actually sin was greater.
Yeah.
In that regard.
Having parents is a normal requirement to life, but who was the son of Nun? And the answer to that one was Joshua.
Joshua. And the thing, some people said, oh, Adam. Adam was the son of Nun because he didn't have any earthly parents. That was a good answer. But the son of Nun, because the joke here was with the word Nun.
Yeah,
N-U-N is the name of Joshua's father. So Joshua was the right answer. But thanks for you that submitted Adam as well.
The next one here, which Bible book sounds like it might have been a theatrical production? And I didn't...
Most people sent in Song of Solomon.
Song of Songs. Yes.
So I said I thought Song of Solomon.
And it could have been, really.
And then I said that to Shell during one of the song breaks.
You got
I'm
it
like,
on your second.
Song and Solomon. And she looked at me like, are you silly? And I was like, oh... Acts of the Apostles. Yeah, Acts.
Acts. The book of Acts would be the right answer for that joke.
Yeah. Because it doesn't have the word A. So which Bible book sounds like it might be theatrical production, not a theatrical production. Mm.
Yes, but exactly. Yeah. Which Bible book?
It's part of theatrical production.
Yes, that's right. And someone said, I think, Esther as well. Which, of course, could be a great theatrical production, as many other Bible stories as well, but the answer is Acts.
It's Book of Acts. At what time of the day did God create Adam? This was the funniest one to me, to be honest. Oh, the next two are like the funniest ones. Yeah. The answer to this one, at what time it was before Eve, which I thought was so
before Eve.
And then the last one here, finally, what kind of man was Boaz before he got married? The answer to that one, he was ruthless.
He was a ruthless man.
Nice answers for
this one. Some fun answers. Someone said here, he was a bachelor kind.
Yeah.
Someone said, I love this one by Christopher. He was single ass.
He was single ass. Bruce and Liz wrote in, kind, generous, honorable, and wealthy. Dude, that is a recipe for success right there.
Bro, and I hope that he stayed like that after he married Ruth.
That's right. I have to give some credit to Wayne, who came up with probably the most brilliant answer for the whole day. He sent in five different answers for the five questions, which ended up making a sentence, which says, Happy Father's Day on Sunday. So each of those was sent individually.
There you go. That was very creative. That's very creative, Wayne. Good on you. We have here, we received a message from Stuart as well. He said, love the hummus idea. Talking about yesterday's show with Jeremy Dixon, talking about hummus. I made up some roast carrot. Now I have some beetroot roasting for the next batch. Just talking about pimping up your hummus.
That's right.
Making it nicer with adding some roasted vegetables. Thank you everyone for playing today in this special Father's Day Dad Jokes quiz episode. You're listening to The Breakfast Show on Faith FM. This is the end of our show. But coming up, we have Jason Cook and his guests at the Tazzy Encounter show that starts right after this. So stay tuned. Keep listening to great uplifting, Bible-based, God-uplifting, noble content here on Faith FM. Lawson, do we have a gift to give away to our beloved listeners?
Absolutely. You know what, guys? We want you to understand the Bible better. We want you to understand particularly
yes, we do.
The life of Jesus more clearly to your own. And so because of that, we are going to be giving away a book. It is called The Desire of Ages. We have a beautiful print of it. And maybe you are listening to the show this morning, listening to our Bible study. You're like, man, I want this insight into the life of Jesus, the things that he said, the people he was talking to at the times that he did. The Desire of Ages is the book for you. So look, type in the word desire to 0491-064-669. Text us the word desire. If you're the first texter through, we'll send you a hard copy of that book absolutely for free.
And let me just say something, Lawson, because people might be thinking, oh, but I'm not a Christian. Do I need to read this book or am I allowed to read this book? Can we just say that it doesn't matter where you are. You are Muslim, you're a Hindu, you are an agnostic, you are into New Age, you're an atheist. You would be a better person altogether by learning about the life of Jesus. Does not matter. There's no counterindications. This book is absolutely fantastic. You read it. Keep the things that you believe are positive for your life. Discard the rest. But we could not give you that book. This is my favorite book. I think it's Lawson's favorite book as well. It's out of the Bible.
It's amazing.
It's an incredible book that is going to help you to explain the sayings of Jesus, the teachings of Jesus. Why did he do certain things? And I love reading books, Lawson, that not only talk about what the Bible say, but also why the things that are said are being said. It's really understanding the why. And this book is one that helps. It helps to understand the historical context. It helps to make connections with other parts of scriptures. It just helps us to become more like the most famous human being of all times, according to any measurements that can possibly be taken, Jesus Christ, the Messiah. So send us this text to 0491-064-669 with the word desire, and we will get a book if you are among the first or two listeners that send it to you. And this is it, Lawson. This is it for today. Next time, we see you on Monday at 6:30 a.m. New South Wales time. And until then, talk faith, live faith, and act faith.
God be with you. Guide, uphold you with the sheep, securely fold you. God be with you till we meet again. Until we meet again at Jesus' feet.
Thanks for being a part of the Faith FM family. Join our community on Facebook or get in touch at 1-800-FAITH-FM.